Okay. Well, Father, we thank you again for another good night tonight. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're going to do tonight and bring things out, Lord, that we need to talk about. And we're going to rely on your Holy Spirit to guide this meeting tonight. And we praise you for that, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that by faith we know that your Spirit guides us everywhere we need to go, and everything that we need to say will be guided by the Holy Spirit. Tonight, Lord, I'm just looking for an awesome time with you and the things that you have us to talk about, Lord. And I thank you for it. I thank you, Lord, for bringing about this draining of the swamp. I thank you for your protection upon the President of the United States. I thank you for the protection you've afforded his family and all of the patriots that are around him, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we just praise you for all that's going to be accomplished tonight right here. And let our words be a blessing to you. And Father, we thank you for being here with us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay.
Amen. I agree.
Amen. Anybody got a prayer request? Yeah, Julie, go ahead.
I would like prayer for, I'm standing in faith for a lot of the things here, and we've been praying earlier this weekend and first of the week, but I just, when I went to go make some tea, I just got attacked in my hand, my right joint muscle in my thumb, the right joint, not the muscle, the joint itself is, I can't bend it. So if you would all just pray with me against this attack, okay, witchcraft or wherever this is coming from, in Jesus' name. Here's my hand. You all just lay your hand on it, whatever you want to do. Got to go. Praise Jesus.
We command that hand to be healed in the name of Jesus. We command the stiffness out of it. We command complete pliability with that thumb to do everything it's supposed to do. That muscle be relaxed in the name of Jesus right now, in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father, that her hand is completely healed. In Jesus' name, the blood of Jesus covers her hand right now. Move it around, because it's healed. Move it around. It's healed. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise you, Father. All right. Thank you, Lord God. Hey, Chet.
Hello, how are you doing, Michael?
I am so blessed, brother.
Amen. Blessed by the best, right?
That's right. That's right. Amen. Blessed by the best.
I'm glad to have found you guys. I located you guys through Tracy, and I've worked with Tracy for years in different ministry pages and stuff. She's awesome.
Yep. Yeah, she's been a blessing. Go ahead, Leon. What you got, brother?
Hey, I just want to let you guys know that Judy flew to Indianapolis tonight, and she made it okay. And I just happened to call her right as she was getting off the plane. So everything was cool, and she made it. So
now she's going to be up there. She's going to be up there for a couple of weeks, isn't she?
Yeah, she'll be back on the 31st.
I got you. In time for the New Year celebration, huh?
Yeah. Sounds good to me.
Okay. Praise God. Well, Lord, we thank you for protecting Judy while she's up there and giving her wisdom, and let her be a lighthouse while she's up there, and bring all of that family into you, Lord, and we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Barbara, go ahead. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Leon. You got some more?
Well, yeah, I was just going to say that I gave David some money earlier this week, and I felt like it was kind of a what I want to say. I couldn't afford it, but I gave it to him anyway, and I
sacrifice.
Came home today.
Huh? Sacrifice.
Yeah. Well, then anyway, I came home today and found $100 on my table.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, thank absolutely. Jesus. The Lord just supplies everywhere. I'm thinking, where did that come from?
Look under your mattress. Look under your mattress.
I'm going to check it as soon as we're through here.
Amen. Yeah. All right, go ahead, Barbara.
Hi. I just wanted to see if you'd pray for me, Michael.
Sure.
I'm battling fatigue really bad.
Okay. You ready to get supernaturally supercharged, girl?
Yes.
All right, yeah. Raise your hand because God's fixing to do it for you. In the name of Jesus right now, we command this fatigue off of Barbara. You don't have any right there. She's a child of God. She's covered by the blood of Jesus, and we command you to go right now in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you for infusing her with your supernatural energy, Lord, in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that Barbara is healed, delivered, and set free by the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for giving her that energy now in Jesus' name. Now, you're going to have trouble bouncing on the walls here shortly, so just be prepared.
Also, can you pray for me? I have a lot of tense muscles in my back from the top to the bottom. Can you pray for my muscles in my back?
Sure.
Thank you.
Yep. Now, when I pray for them, from that point on, after I pray for you, you thank God for it.
Amen.
And you're healed in the name of Jesus right now. I command that tension, muscle, spine, whatever it is in the back of her back and neck and wherever, be gone in the name of Jesus. I command those muscles to relax, the tendons to relax, everything in her to be just relaxed in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, that it's gone in Jesus' name. And we command anxiousness to go, anxiety to go in the name of Jesus. And we praise you, Father, that Barbara is healed in Jesus' name. And that when she lies down to go to sleep tonight, she's just going to fall right to sleep and wake up in the morning fully refreshed and supercharged for the day. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Does everybody believe that? Thank you, Lord, for Barbara is healed in
Jesus'
name.
And then I would stay asleep, too. And then I would stay asleep.
What you going to stay up late for?
I don't stay up late. I sometimes I'm in bed at 7 o'clock. But I wake up every couple hours, you know, to use the restroom. And it's been like this for a while now. And I think that's what's causing me to not feel rested, you know. But I've been praying against that. I've been standing. I'm standing against that in the name of Jesus because I'm healed.
Yes, you are. In the
agree
name
with
of Jesus.
Me too, that I am healed in that area as well. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. We thank you, Lord, that we command her having to get up 2 or 3 times a night to cease right now in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that tonight she's going to get a full night's sleep. And from this night and to succeeding nights from now on, she's going to sleep all night long. When she lays her head on that pillow, she's going to get her at least ever how much she gets. I don't know. Some people like sleep 8-10 hours a day. Me, 4 or 5, plenty for me, but whatever. Whatever she likes, Lord, that's what she's going to sleep in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that Barbara is healed, sealed, and delivered in Jesus' name. And thank you, Lord, that she is going to have a full night's sleep tonight. Now, Barbara, from this point on, you speak it, that I'm healed, and don't call it back on yourself by saying, I have this or I have that. You ain't got it now another time, girl, like the old boy said. You're healed in Jesus' name. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
And that's something I thought we'd talk about tonight, is the different types of faith. So we'll just talk a little bit about that later on. Anybody else need healing or prayer? Yeah, Joe.
I've actually got two prayer requests. First one, well, thankfully, kind of a prayer, well, answered prayer here lately. Work has slowed down a little bit. I mean, we are like 2 days ahead of schedule, and thankfully, I think that's been a blessing. You know, knowing I work like 63-hour weeks the past 2-3 months. Thankfully, it's finally slowed down a little bit. So, I mean, it's about just 5 days a week now. But
when you're going to work full time?
That's a good question. I'll let you know when I get around to it. Yeah, yeah.
All right,
still,
go ahead.
Still kind of part time, you know. Yeah, yeah. But no, this weekend, you know, my mom and her and my stepfather come. I believe it's this weekend they're coming into town for the holidays. So they got a get together going in downtown Cincinnati. There's a nice steak house there, and you know, they want to also spend the night there. I guess my stepfather got some hotel rooms for everybody. So just, I want to lift that up in prayer, but also that, I mean, we are ahead of schedule, you know, so I want to lift it up that, you know, nothing kind of crazy happens all of a sudden. And then even for next week is the holiday week. So I think nothing's projected for Tuesday or Wednesday, which is Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. So I just want to kind of lift that up there that, everything will go, and if, you know, if I have those 2 days off, I can come down and visit everybody. Hey, you know, I really haven't had a chance this month to visit, so I thought, you know, let me take those 2 days if I get them off to do so. So I just want to lift that up there, and if, you know, yeah, just, I mean, you know, however the Lord wants to move. So just, yeah, go ahead and agree with me here. Father, I just thank you for just what you're doing in my work, Lord. I thank you for just the changes that have happened. You know, we know it's all you. I thank you that you're a God. You can change things just like that. So it's, you know, I think you've been doing that in small ways, but just, you know, ways that have made it a little more pleasant, you know, a little bit more, you know, enjoyable to work there. So I just pray for this weekend. Lord, would you free up my schedule? I know there's a, you know, there's a reservation for 5:30 at the restaurant, and well, that's really pushing it for me. You know, if I'm to get off at work at 4 p.m., I'd have to rush down there. So, Lord, would you either, you know, whatever you desire here, you know, I would like to get off work early, you know, an hour or so early. We're ahead of schedule. But, Lord, if you wanted to make it where you can change that reservation to like 6:30 or something, that's fine too, whichever you see fit. Lord, I pray that you would do that for me, you know, and that I could spend time with my family. And I just pray for a good time this weekend. You know, even my father even sent me an email to want to spend time with him on Saturday. So Lord, I just, I pray that you'd prepare their hearts, you know, whatever you have me to do this weekend, that you'd prepare their hearts and, you know, just help me to continue to plant seeds, water the seeds that are already there. But just, you know, to be a light there, to be a witness to them, Lord, that's the most important thing, I think, right now, is just to be a witness to them, to show them the difference since we've last really spent time with one another. So, Lord, thank you for that. Thank you for what you're going to do there. And thank you for opening up my schedule next week, if you, you know, if you have it for me to go down and visit the local people there in Tennessee, then, Lord, you know, let it be. Free up the schedule, Lord. Help us to be so far ahead to where we could have Christmas Eve and Christmas Day off, Lord. I thank you for that. And I thank you for what you're doing, you know, in my life here concerning my family. And thank you for what you'll do with my job. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we just believe, we command that his work let him off a half a day, the day that he has to go see his family, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that is so. In Jesus' name, we praise you, Father, Amen. That Joe's going to have the half a day off. He'll have plenty of time to get there, rest up, and get ready to eat another great meal. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
That's going to happen, brother.
I believe it. Amen.
We're looking for the good report.
Yes. Amen.
All right.
Amen.
Anybody else? Yeah, go ahead.
I like prayer too, just same as Barbara. Very fatigued, very tired, and I've given testimonies of how, boy, God has really touched my headaches. They're really very infrequent. They've gotten less frequent, and but they pick up again. So I've been having such headaches again, and one really bad one all day today, and just real tired, really draggy. So I've been praying for myself, and I want to believe that, and I do believe for that. So I tend to not want to share to have prayer because I feel like I'm just not having faith when I ask for prayer. But in faith, I am asking for prayer, so in agreement that this be gone. So,
you ready to get free of that?
Yeah.
Okay.
And sleep.
In the name of, huh?
And sleep.
And sleep. Okay. We command that fatigue to go from Debbie right now in the name of Jesus. You leave her, you spirit of trying to drag her down. I command you to leave her body right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you that tonight is the night. She's going to get a full night's sleep, wake up supercharged just like Barbara. And Father, we praise you that your Holy Spirit is going to minister to her while she's sleeping tonight. Give her a good dream. Mm. And also to supercharge her body so she'll get up in the morning energized. She'll be like the Energizer Bunny in Jesus' name. She'll be bouncing off the walls too. And Father, we thank you for it. At the Bible study in the morning, we're going to have a good report in Jesus' name. And we command that demon off of her, command it to go right now. And you're not to come back. Any kind of spirits that try to bring headaches on her, go in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, that she is healed, delivered, and set free by the power and the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. Oh, amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Glory, 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 glory. Praise you, Father. Ooh, my. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Leon.
I just wanted to speak with Debbie for a minute. Sue and I were dropping off Judy at the airport. She went with us, and we had a good conversation coming back. But we were talking about drinking caffeinated coffee, and I was telling her that it caused me to have a buzz, and it was like electrical thing going on behind my eyes, and she's got problems with headaches too. And she asked me, "You think that would cause that?" And I said, "Well, I don't know, but it's very possible that it would. It affects different people differently." And I know you drink decaf a lot of times, but I know that you do drink caffeinated too. So
I drink a lot of green tea.
Yeah.
And I just feel I need to slow down on that too, because that really revs your metabolism.
That's it right there. I'm telling you, that green tea ain't good for you, Debbie. It ain't good for you, girl.
I'm trying to flush out of my body. I think I've had too much of that. And I didn't used to drink a lot of coffee, and I started that lately when I had some French vanilla in it one day. I thought, well, I like this. I've been drinking the coffee too. But so now I guess.
But I drink decaf because you get the same amount of caffeine in one cup of coffee that you get in a whole pot of decaf. So I can drink a whole pot, and it's like drinking one cup a day. Mm, so anyway, that's just food for thought, you know.
Thank you. Yeah, I've got the same thing already. Thank you.
Leanne.
Yes.
Just touch it. Debbie, I'll just add to what you're saying there. When you said you're praying in faith, but yet you feel like you're not in faith. And what the enemy is hitting me a lot with is just doubt. Because when you get this double-mindedness or any kind of doubt or unbelief about what you're praying, that's just one of his tactics. So we just command that demon of doubt, unbelief, and double-mindedness and uncertainty, all of that to go. In Jesus' name, and thank you, Lord, for giving us all bold faith in what you say is true. and we would just be able to discern quickly what the enemy is devising against us and stand against it and cast it down. And Lord, you get all the glory because we know it's already finished. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
That's it right there. That's it right there. It's not how we feel. It's not how we, anything that we're looking at. It's what the Word of God says. That's what we base our faith on. Yeah. And if the Word of God says I'm healed, bless God, I'm healed.
Did you do it already?
Amen.
Amen. Michael.
I'm amazed at...
Who is that?
Michael, it's Sue. Sue Gilbert.
Sue Gilbert who? Why have you got Marlon's name up there?
Oh, that's because I'm over at... Because Judy's gone, I'm not on her thing, and
okay, all right. Anyway, go ahead.
Let me come over and be on hers. So it's Gail and I, but we can't. You can't. Let's go right. But anyway, I just wanted to give a prayers report. I did gave it already to the prayer meeting, but just to encourage other that were rocking with tonight. A couple of days ago, I had a pain in my shoulder where I couldn't put my arm up. I think I don't know if I pinched a nerve or if I hurt a muscle in my shoulder area, because what I was lifting up Mama, and she's like, I don't know if she's 89 pounds or 90 pounds, but I was lifting her up the normal way, but I must have lifted kind of wrong. Because I couldn't, you know how when you want to put your hand, it was my left hand, and I wanted to put it behind my back so I could wash my back. I couldn't even put it back there. It hurt so bad. So I just prayed and told it we had to go, you know. And it relented a little bit, but then the next day it was gone. It was a blessing. I didn't have that pain there anymore. So thank you,
okay.
Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Thank you, Father, for answered prayer. Go ahead, Barbara.
Well, I was just, excuse me. I was just thinking what Debbie was saying, or whoever was saying about the caffeine. There's something worse than caffeine. And that, if you have a wireless router in your home, you know, those wireless routers, they emit so much radiation that could cause headaches too. I'm wondering if that's my problem with this fatigue, because I have a wireless router, you know, right in my bedroom. And so I just wonder if that could be the culprit. That and they heavily chemtrail out there, because that's when I started noticing the fatigue was when they were heavily chemtrailing. But I was wondering, can we pray over that 5G? And I don't know if you heard about the 5G, but it's, you know, really... you know, really bad for us. But if we could pray against the 5G and also chemtrails.
I tell you what we can do.
The caffeine.
Do what? The caffeine.
Caffeine's minor to me in comparison to all that other.
Let me tell you, let me just clue everybody in. We're not under the curse. We don't have to worry about 5G. We don't have to worry about chemtrails. Amen. So we pray and we ask God to protect us from all of those things that are out there that could harm most folks, but for us it's not a problem. Lord, we just neutralize everything in the house or around us. Anywhere we go, it doesn't affect us in Jesus' name, because we're under the blood of Jesus. We're a Psalm 91 Christian, and we don't have to worry about that stuff. Because you're in control of our lives, and we praise you, Father, that you have a shield around us to protect us from all that garbage in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to worry about it now another time. I don't get headaches. I don't get colds. I don't get nothing from that chemtrail. Bless God, I am a child of God, and all I am is just full of Jesus. And, Father, we just praise you, and we thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. For every one of us, are protected from all that garbage in Jesus' name. Amen. You believe that, Barbara?
Yes, I do believe that. I just want to know, what do I do when symptoms start coming on me? You know, like that, you know.
You just said symptoms. Well, we prayed for that.
I tell it, I'm not under the curse. I'm not under the curse.
Exactly.
I know what Jesus did at the cross. I know what he did at the cross for me.
So you just answered your question.
So I shouldn't be having any of those symptoms at all. I shouldn't have any of that.
Unless the Lord is testing you to see what you're going to do. Are you going to receive it or are you going to rebuke it? We're in a trial down here. The Lord is getting us ready for this great awakening. And he's getting us ready by testing our faith when these things come around. And he wants to see if we're going to believe what the Word of God says or what our senses tell us. That's what he's doing. That's why we have to believe what the Word says over and above what we feel like coming on us or anything like that. We just rebuke it and go on. Said, I ain't got to mess with you. Go on, bless God, I'm okay. Listen, I know of people that were in the bed of affliction and they had to crawl because they believed by faith that they were healed. That they've had to crawl out of bed and make themselves go to work for months before it actually happened. That is believing the word over and above what you're, and what they would do when they got to work, they would pray, God, give me the strength so to work today and to do this job. And God would do it. And then they'd go home and get back in bed. But they went on for months. And it gradually, one day, they wake up and it's all gone. That's the trial of your faith. Sometimes we get a little cold or something, and man, we're right back. Get the whole world out here to put their hands on me and pray for me, bless God. I'm hurting, you know. Well, when in fact, we just need to forget about it and go on and rebuke it and go on and thank God. People are in trial. We're all in trials right now. We're all in trials. And God is going to, there's going to be a trophy for those who go and stay in this walk by faith. It's going to be a trophy that you won't be able to believe coming up very soon. Stay in there. Hang in there. The faith that we have right now is to hang in there and just believe what the Word of God says. You know, look, I don't like pain any more than anybody else does. I hate it. I hate pain.
Yeah, I'm a sissy.
I go down there and I lay all up in the couch. David, put your hands on me. Glory to God, this thing is driving me nuts, you know. No, I'm just kidding. But we do. We pray for one another. We all do. We all need that help at times. And I don't say it. But once we pray the prayer of faith, listen to me. Once you pray the prayer of faith one time, if you do it two times, you're in doubt and unbelief. If you do it three times, you've been in doubt and unbelief at least two times. If you do it a half a dozen times for the same thing, you've been in doubt and unbelief for five times, and then that sixth time it worked. Just do it the first time. When you do it the first time and start believing and asking God, thanking God for that healing, it's going to come a whole lot quicker. Remember what happened to the Israelites out there in the desert? Took him 40 years, and some of them never did get it. Most of them never did get it. But he wants us to endure in our faith to the end. And to the end, when we pray the prayer, listen to me one minute here, glory to God, because God's been giving me some revelations here recently about praying again and again and again. Even for the salvation of my family, He said, how many times you going to pray for him? Well, I don't know. I just said, as it takes, Lord. You ain't saved him yet. Glory to God. You know, and you going off into this garbage. And he said, why don't you just pray one time? And then from that point on, claim their salvation. Claim it. That's what he said. He said, I've already given the blessing. I've already given. The blessing's already out there. All you have to do is claim it for them. Same thing with your healings. Same thing with all, with faith in itself. Just pray one time and believe from that point on that it's done. And start thanking God. Yeah, Leon.
That would be a good subject we could look into is how the people in the Bible, how long they had to endure before they got the answer to the promise or the prayer.
Yep.
You know, it's like Joseph was incarcerated basically for 15 years before he was risen up and given the
Amen.
You know, stuff like that. But there's, you can look at David and Moses and all those people. They had to endure Abraham. They all had to endure many, many years before they were exalted or before they were healed or before they got the promise or something. So,
amen.
That would be a good subject. And we could do that probably next week because you said you already had a good subject. So.
Well, that's faith tonight, talking about faith tonight, the different types of faith. Okay. Yeah, we can do whatever y'all want to talk about, whatever the Lord leads us. All right, any questions? That's mostly what God is dealing with me about is praying one time. One time for one subject. Lord, now I've prayed the prayer of faith for my family. I did it again last night. That's the last time I'm going to do it. Because he said to claim their salvation. He told me, he said, claim their salvation. I said, okay, I claimed it in Jesus' name. And just from that point on, and when you go to pray for them, just thank God that they're saved. Thank you, Lord. That Blake saved. Thank you, Lord. You've already brought him in. Thank you, Father. It's all going to work because I know what you told me. Yeah, Missy.
That doesn't mean, though, that you can't do spiritual warfare on their behalf if you see something going on with them, right?
No, that doesn't mean that at all. But if you've prayed for their... I know what you're talking about, okay? And you see something out of place, you know, you can command those spirits off of them. But if you're praying for them to come into some truth and knowledge that you've already prayed for, then you're praying in doubt and unbelief again. But if you see something out of the ordinary going on, you can pray against that for them. But just remember this, when you pray the prayer of salvation or the prayer of bringing them into the truth of the gospel, it makes no difference what you see them doing. You know God's working in them. You know God's working in them. And I know our natural minds and our natural instincts are to protect them. We want to reach out and grab them, you know, it's boring. Pow, you know, boy, you need to straighten yourself up. You can't do that. You have to let God do it because he does a whole lot better job than we do. I've been working on that boy for 26 years now, and I haven't done anything. So now it's up to God to do it. And I've taken him off to that altar a couple of times, and I just refuse to do it anymore. And I've got some other things just like y'all do. Just believe that whatever's happening, you know, it's the same thing. He's going through the same, people are going through the same cycle over and over and over again. And God wants us to break that cycle by believing. Yeah, Joe.
What in that, like what Missy said there about the, you know, doing spiritual warfare, just interceding for them. Isn't that just part of enduring the trial? Because I mean, you're probably looking at it. I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I gotta help them. I gotta give them some relief here. That sounds just like the trial. You know, we see them suffering or we see them having trouble, and you know, we either have one or two choices: believe still that they're going to be saved or that they are saved, or doubt, like, oh my goodness, they're suffering here. You know, are they saved? So, would that be correct? I mean, that's basically just enduring the trial.
It depends on what your prayer was. If you've been praying for somebody's salvation and they're going through a lot of garbage, then yeah, you're right. That's what God's taking them through.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure about the rest of it. But Missy may be able to clarify something here.
Well, what I wanted to say right before, Joe, I find that lots of times, you know, I don't want to get in the way. I realize that things that I see going on with my family and stuff like that, is the Lord working. And I'm like, you know, I don't trust my own thoughts and my own, you know, my own prayers. And so lots of times, you know, with my family, I just pray in the spirit from them, like, Lord, pray through me for them to facilitate this salvation that I believe that you've given them. You know, you pray through me, whatever it is that they need, you know, to bring that to pass, whatever you want to, you know.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah, that's right. You can do that. Okay. Anybody else? Now, I'm not trying to put anybody under the law, but I'm trying to put somebody under the law. No, go ahead, Tim.
Well, I think that, you know, if you're praying for somebody, you know, to come into the kingdom and stuff, that you should watch for them to be entering into trials and stuff.
Absolutely.
God's bringing them in. He's going to perfect them as well. So, before that answered prayer is going to be, you know, you're going to be seeing stuff that, you know, where'd this come from? But Lord working on it, yep. You know, he expected, I would think.
Amen. That's correct. Yeah, Chet, go ahead.
I just wanted to share with you guys kind of my experience. I know that nobody really in this room really knows much about me or whatever, but I have street ministry that I've been doing healing and deliverance for years and years. And I have to kind of, when I first heard you say that, I was like, that sounds like Smith Wigglesworth. You know, if you pray more than once, that it's unbelief. But man, I'm going to tell you, I don't know how many people that I've seen sick, and I mean deathly sick, you know, tuberculosis, cirrhosis of the liver, you know, dying. And I pray for him, nothing happened. I'd see him again a few days later, and I'd lay hands on him, be healed in Jesus' name, and just go about my business. And maybe do that 30 times. And then the next time I pray for him, boom, fire God hits him. And they're just, whoa, and they're crying, and they're, I'm on fire, and they're dancing around, and just get radically healed. So, I don't know. I guess it's, we just agree to disagree, but man, when I see someone sick, I pray for them, bro. And I've seen some well, Tracy can attest to a lot of that. Tracy's familiar with hundreds of my testimonies, but I mean, I agree with you saying you don't want to pray a repetitious, vain prayer. I get it. I'm in agreement, but yeah, I see somebody sick, man, I lay hands on them. And I don't know why they don't get healed the first time. You know what I'm saying?
Now, are you talking about Christians? Or are you talking about, what are you talking about?
Some are Christians and some aren't. You know, I'll be honest with you guys. I find that, you know, it's kind of like the gift from God to try to win, you know, someone's heart, sow that seed. But a lot of times the people I try to pray for that are in church or real religious, I find it hard for them to receive healing.
Absolutely.
And I can be on the street and just see it, bam, 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 bam. So I haven't figured that one out yet.
Yeah. Well, it's the Lord bringing them in. It's the Lord bringing them in. What I've experienced, Chet, I've done the same thing. I've been out on the streets a lot. I've seen a lot of healing, seen a lot of miracles.
Mm-hmm.
But I can tell you this much. From those times on the streets, I saw great amounts of healings initially and then go back and find that they've lost it simply because they didn't get in the Word and the teaching wasn't there. I didn't teach them, you know,
you got it
at the time because I was just going out there and doing what the Word told me to do without teaching about how to keep that healing, how to retain that healing. Mm-hmm. And
I agree.
Which means that you have to come to Christ and you have to allow the Lord to work in your life. You know, the regular.
Have to repent and change your ways and start following the Lord.
Start believing. Repent and believe. That's what the Lord said. Yeah. Repent and believe.
I agree with you, and I don't understand it. Man, I could write a book. I've prayed for thousands of people, and I see crazy stuff happen. It's really exciting. I'm glad the Lord lets me be the garden hose, you know. But I've prayed for people and go back and see somebody a year later, and they're just healed, totally healed.
Oh, yeah.
And it's somebody that I wasn't able to disciple. You know, it wasn't somebody that I was able to pour into. So, but, yeah, just something in my spirit. If I see somebody that's sick, I want to pray for them. I know a lot of people I prayed for multiple times, and it's pretty interesting, but, you know.
It is.
One time, it'll just bam. And, I mean, it's just, I don't know. I enjoy praying for people, and I have a lot of people say I have a boldness that a lot of people hunger for, and the Lord did that. He pulled fear out of me like a turnip in the roots and all.
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. And I love to street minister, and I have homeless ministry, and I love to help the ones on the street. And I don't understand it. Maybe you guys can help and explain it, but it's crazy the people that have been churched. I call them churched that are got all these religious spirits in them.
Yeah.
It's like beating your head against a wall trying to get healing.
You found out what I found out early on. If you go into the middle class neighborhoods, you're not going to get you ain't going to see a whole lot. You go down in the poor places, down in the streets, and you'll see a lot more miracles down there than you will, even in church. And I'll tell you, I've been in Baptist churches, I've been in Pentecostal churches, and I have seen more miracles in Baptist churches than I have in Pentecostal churches.
I don't understand that. It's crazy, isn't it?
Well, it's because the Baptists are just, they get a hold of it. I was in one Baptist church. It was a missionary Baptist, believe it or not. And the pastor and we were good friends. And I had been out on the streets, showed him how to street minister. And one day he asked me to come over to his church, and I did. He just opened it up. He had a pretty good crowd there. And he said he wanted me to sit up there with him up on. I said, no, I'm going to sit down here in the congregation, you know. He said, no, you got to come up here and sit down up here with me. I said, okay, I'll come up there, just argument's sake. And then he said, would you pray? And that's all I was looking for, was just to pray. And after I got through praying, I said, is anybody in here that needs healing? And this little old lady came up there. Said, I sure do. Said, I sure do. Said, my back is hurting me. And she was walking cold, bent over and everything. And I commanded her to straighten up in the name of Jesus. She stood right up. The whole crowd came up there, and everybody in that church got healed.
Yeah,
everybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
First one got healed and the rest of them got healed. It was amazing. I've done that more than once too. In a Baptist church, in a Pentecostal church, you gotta, oh my, it's like you gotta fight them demons first.
Yeah. You're right.
But anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway. The Lord is doing some things, but the faith that we're talking about now is in this group of believers that already know what the Word of God says about it.
Right.
And we are, God is priming this bunch to have a special ministry. I'm not talking about just this bunch. I'm talking about God is priming a group of people to be disciples of Christ in the days ahead. In other words, to disciple, be able to disciple other people and to make mature Christians out of them when the tribulation starts. And so that's kind of what we do here. We teach. Are you familiar with David's teachings? David. EBM?
No.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway, faith is a good thing.
Yeah, no, I agree. Let me just give you like just a little 30-second rundown.
Sure.
Is when
go ahead and give us your testimony, brother.
Yeah. God pulled me out of the gutter. I used to tell people when the devil lost me, he lost a good man. I was a decade opiate addict, and I was addicted to any kind of addiction, pornography, alcohol, anything and everything. And the Lord just like plucked me up. And I had the church background as I was younger. I was in a lot of Holy Ghost tent revivals as a kid. And then as I got older, I kind of walked my way. I wanted to taste everything life had, kind of walked away from God. So anyway, my the quick version is, you know, the Lord kind of got a hold of me, and I was in a Foursquare church. I predominantly was in Pentecostal Assembly of God and Foursquare, you know, all that with the speaking in tongues and the healing. But as I got older, man, I noticed that a lot of the churches were talking it, but they weren't walking it. So when I truly got born again, I just took off with it. I took off running with it. I'm like, it says it in the Bible, I'm going to do it. You're no respecter of persons. And I just started praying for people. And lo and behold, God started moving. And I seen people, you know, getting healed. And it was blowing my mind. And it just like, it's like pouring gasoline on a fire for me. And the pastor in the church I was going to, he was all about it, but he didn't know how to handle it in the congregation. So he would call me into his office and be like, hey, close the door. And I'm like, okay, what's going on? Will you pray for me? And I'm like, yeah, I'll pray for you. But if I was praying for people in the congregation before a service would start, it would cause a disruption. So I kind of got quit. I didn't get fired, you know, but I kind of got quit at that church. That's what I tell people. And it's kind of like in that situation, I had to grow up big enough to climb out of the playpen, and the Lord kind of told me, he said, you know, your time here is done. And I go to some non-denominational churches that I visit because mainly they have a homeless outreach, because my heart is for the drug addicts, the prostitutes, the alcoholics, the homeless. That's where my heart is. But I love to pray for people. And prayer, you know, prayer for healing and deliverance. And like you said earlier, you're talking about having to deal with them devils, man. Amen. They are real. They are real, real. But anyway, I don't want to take up the meeting, but that's kind of my quick version.
Sounds like you kind of had my background too. That's where I worked in the prisons and the homeless shelters. And the streets for a long time.
Amen.
Now we got other things to do.
Amen. But I'm tickled to find you guys. This is awesome. I live in Lubbock, Texas, but I'm from the mountains of West Virginia. And, you know, I was predominantly born and raised in the East. So I've been in Lubbock, Texas for about 14 years. But I'm from, the Carolinas and West Virginia, Virginia, Tennessee, all that area.
Yeah.
Kind of stomping grounds.
Praise God. Well, I'm not from here either. I'm originally from Arkansas. I don't know if you could tell or not, but they say I have an accent, but I don't believe I do. Everybody else got an accent.
So let me ask you real quick. You're talking about this David. Who are you talking about? Is that the leader of UBM? Is that what you're saying?
Well, he's the overseer. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's overseer. What is that, Tracy? Okay. David's, he and I live here in this house, and we've been ministering together for 8 years now, almost nine. And but he's the catalyst for this whole ministry. He's written quite a number of books. We have a large ministry online, mostly. So, what's that? One of the basic books, Chet, and I'll send you one if you'll give me your address.
Sure.
Is Sovereign God, and it's more or less what got me interested in David. It's that book, that particular book, and Hidden Manna, were what it did for me. Sovereign God did for me. I knew these scriptures existed, and I knew they were important, but what David did was bring them all together and where I could understand about how God operates, how sovereign that our Lord is, you know, in everything, not just in a couple of things. I'm talking about everything. Everything that happens around us, God has ordained for one purpose, and that's to mature us. Everything happens for a purpose. All things work together for those who love the Lord. Let's see. Oh, okay. Let me get that. I'll send this to you, bud. Is that 71st Street?
Yes, sir. Uh-huh.
Is that West Texas or where is that?
Yeah, I'm up close to the panhandle of Texas, so I'm okay. Fairly close. Yeah. I'm about 6 hours west of Dallas.
Yeah. We'll pray for you, brother.
Yeah. Amen.
In Texas. We got some friends down there also. Down around, we got some in Corpus Christi.
I know.
And also around the Houston area, and some around between Houston and Dallas, and then some up in, Megan's from up in, I believe, Northeast Texas, up in there somewhere. So, yeah, we got some Texas folks here. In the group at times. All right. Where was it? I'll send you one of these. Well, Chet, what's your last name?
Fowlkes. It's Fowlkes. I just got kicked
okay.
out for a second there and I lost the chat.
Okay. Fowlkes?
That's right.
I got you. All right, I'll get one of these in the mail to you tomorrow.
Yeah, but I love to pray for people on the street. And then I work with a pretty good friend of mine that we have a deliverance ministry going. And we did have a healing room going for a couple of years. And we've kind of reorganized and getting ready to start something else up here in the next couple of months.
Sound like you might know Curry Blake.
Curry Blake, yep. And
used to be good friends with that boy.
Is that right? With Curry? Yeah. What do you mean used to?
Well, that's been quite a number of years ago. I guess it was about 2008 or 9, the last time that I had any dealings with him. It's just God had me doing other things, you know. We had healing rooms. We had all that stuff.
Yep.
And, God got me off into another purview of the ministry.
Yeah, it sounds like we have a lot in common, man.
Yeah, probably so. Probably so.
Yeah, amen. Well, I'm tickled to find you guys, and it's a blessing.
Yeah. Yeah, do you see Curry much?
Yeah. No, I've watched almost all of his – I mean, I've watched all his Divine Healing Technician and all the John G. Lake stuff and stuff. But, like, he's 5 hours away from me, so it's not like I can go there on Sunday or, you know. So,
Okay, I just wondered. It's been a lot of years since I've made contact with him, so
right. I don't know. I would love to be close enough to go there. I think it would be awesome, but, yeah, he's a little ways away.
Okay. Well, all right. Anybody else? I'm sorry we're taking up so much time here. Me talking old time. Not Chet. Chet, we got to get to know you. That's great. Awesome. All right. What y'all want to talk about? I've talked enough. I'm going to get me a drink of tea.
I didn't hear what the topic was this week. Last week I had some Bible verses that Tracy had sent me, but you said we're talking about faith, like Hebrews 11:1.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about the different kinds of faith, different types of faith. There are different types of faith, like. Oh, gosh. Talking to you, I've just lost my whole train of thought. I don't know, that don't happen often, but.
Now, you know, that's not my fault.
Okay. All right. Let me get my book here. Praise God. What do you all consider to be an effective way to pray in faith? What is an effective way to pray? Now, I'll just throw that out there. And there ain't no, you know, there's, what is an, that's just a question that I have. What's the number one thing that you want to do if you're praying effectively? Go ahead, Julie.
This first thing is just to get quiet before the Lord and make sure that there's nothing hindering between you and God, any kind of sin, whatever that may be, that He'll show you. And and then it's just doesn't matter, like we touched on, doesn't matter what you feel, it doesn't matter what the symptoms might be manifesting as. It may not be, you know, what the oppression might be feeling or whatever. It's just you're going to believe what God says above everything else. And prayers of faith is just being in agreement with the Word of God, and praying in the Spirit is perfect prayers. I mean, you know, you're praying the will of God for whatever it is you're praying for.
Okay. yeah. Go ahead. Tim, you got something?
Yeah, personally, I'd like to, you know, get quiet and then recite the Lord's Prayer and really dwell on each line of it. It's kind of a focusing on our relationship and how it's supposed to be, and you know, that His power is perfect, and kind of establish a line of communication by, you know, saying the Lord's Prayer, and that gets me in the mood, and I believe it opens up a line that just makes my prayers sincere and to the point, and that, you know, it builds my faith that He's listening to me. So for me, I find that quite effective to build my faith that my prayers are being heard and then answered.
Amen. Let me rephrase it. Let's say I'm a new believer. How can I, as a new believer, pray effectively? Now, that'd put a bit different spin on it, okay? How can I? Now, teach me how to pray effectively. Go ahead, Julie.
How to pray effectively? Well, you can pray God's word. You see something in the scriptures that you see that you want or you need, or you might be struggling in, whether it be a healing, whether it be a deliverance, or just want, I want wisdom. It says in the Proverbs to cry out for wisdom, cry out for understanding, and seek knowledge and all these things, and asking God to do that. So praying the scriptures is praying God's word, which is, especially when you pray it out loud, is very powerful, and it also helps put that word in your heart.
Amen. Okay, anybody else? Yeah, Joe, go ahead.
I would say pray, believe you have received, because your belief or faith is in past tense, has already been done. It's thank the Lord for it.
Okay. All right, that'll help. Yeah, go ahead, George.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Obviously, reading the word or getting the word in you so you know what is right, but hearing the thoughts that come through your head and taking them captive, everything that rises up against the knowledge of God. You know, the Bible says that our weapons are mighty to the casting down of strongholds and casting down imaginations, and we get these thoughts, or the enemy tries to feed us these lies. But when we pray against those and take them captive, or if we've got others that we're praying for, how we they have mental strongholds of false doctrine or unbelief, or just woe is me, whatever it is, you know, we have to shine light in darkness and give truth. I think a big part of body ministry and us ministering and even the fivefold, the gifts equipping the saints for ministry, is to bring truth into the world of darkness and letting that truth stand up against scrutiny, letting the onslaught of the enemy bounce off of that truth and just stand strong in that truth. And our prayers magnifying the truth of God and His way that He's made for us really just plows through this world of unbelief and the powerlessness of the enemy. I think when we tap into truth, we tap into power. And God honors His word, and He honors that truth with signs following. And I just see so many people that are, you know, I minister to a lot of people down at the bus station and different places. And, you know, it's like everybody's a believer nowadays. But when you find out what they believe, it's like, oh, well, I was raised Catholic, or, oh, I was this, or I've been down to whatever, or they follow somebody. You know, they always want to talk about who they follow, or what church do I go to, and all this stuff. And I'm just like, you know, we got to get down to the brass tacks of, you know, if we're going to throw somebody a lifeline, it better be strong enough to pull them. So that's where I, you know, I'm finding strength nowadays more than anything is just to hold on to simple truth and not let anything complicated or shake me off of that. So I guess that's where my prayers always go nowadays, is just that the blinders would be taken off of their eyes, that they would be able to see the truth, and they would have the grace to unto repentance, to let go of anything that comes against the knowledge of Christ and God, that he reigns supreme, and whatever he says is true, and everything else is going to bow to Jesus. Where I go with it.
Amen. Amen. All right. Thank you, George. Yeah. Go ahead, Missy. I'll get you, Leon, just a second.
Well, I find myself sometimes when I'm talking to somebody that I can tell that they're aren't a person that really understands what faith is, I guess. And I find sometimes that when I'm talking to them about, you know, praying and asking God something, you know, sometimes, you know, we can pray and ask the Lord for an answer about something, not knowing what the answer is going to be, you know. But sometimes we pray specifically for a specific answer, you know. But anyway, what I'm trying to say is I tell them, you know, if you're going to pray, believe that God's going to answer you. If you're not going, if you don't believe that he's going to answer you, there's no point in praying. Mm-hmm. And yeah. And that's the whole, that to me is the most basic, simple thing is if you're going to pray, believe that God's going to answer you. Otherwise, you know, don't even bother. That's just how I feel about it, you know. So, you know, and the thing of it is too is God's the one that gives the faith. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if there's something you're struggling in and not knowing if it's God's will or whatever, ask the Lord to give you the faith, or to show you what it is, you know, what his will is. But I think, you know, I don't know, because if it's not something that's in the Bible, that you're asking the Lord, it's not a specific thing that the Bible addresses, then you just got to ask the Lord for the faith, and just, well, even asking the Lord for the faith for anything, you know, I mean, if it's in the Bible, believe it, because God's not a liar, you know. Believe what God's word says. Yeah, because, you know, and another thing is faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You're not going to have faith unless you read God's word and know what he'll do, and, you know, what he won't do, you know. I don't know. I don't know if all that made sense, but those are just some things that are coming to me.
Yeah, it did. You have to be specific in your praying, right? And to be specific, and I'll just say this one thing. To be specific, you need to find the scripture that addresses that thing that you want to pray for, and you meditate on that, get it in your heart, and know that God's going to answer it once you pray it. Okay, go ahead, Leon.
To answer your question that you asked a little while ago, the new believer usually prays the prayer of importation. That's what Julie said. They see that in the scripture and they say, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking, you know. So they pray that way. And then some of these other answers are when you get past that, and you get to the faith part. But you just pray because that's what the word says, and that's usually what people key on to begin with.
Well, that goes back to the prayer of importunity is when you pray and you keep praying until you get to faith. God gives you the faith to believe. And once you get that faith to believe, and then you believe, it's going to happen. So that's another way. There's three kinds of prayer. Okay, go ahead, Chet.
Yeah, well, that's what I was just getting ready to add, is I know that I run into people every day that ask me that very question, new believers. And usually I'll go to Hebrews and I'll read Hebrews 11:1, and it says that now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's in the King James. Now, NLT, I'll read it, NLT. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. And it gives us assurance about the things that we cannot see. So I share that with new believers, and this is me, and you guys might not agree, but I tell people, because I meet so many people that don't know how to pray. They're new and they're hungry. And I tell them, quit trying to sound religious. Get the Christianese out of it. Get alone with God and have a conversation with him. Share your heart. Because I know so many people get stumbled. They stumble on the words, you know, and I'm like, don't worry about that. Just have a conversation with him. And just, you know, faith is that you believe, right? You know, that you believe in your heart. But I've had so many people ask me that question, the same question that you're talking about, Michael. I think a lot of new believers, they want to get the Christianese and they don't know how to do that. And I tell them, don't worry about that right now. Don't worry about that. Just open up your heart. Amen.
Amen. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Faith comes by, more faith comes by studying the word of God. Faith comes by praying in the Spirit. A lot of faith comes by watching things. Go ahead, Denny.
Yeah, and 1 John 5:14-15, it says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. So it's having that confidence, and it's asking. And once you get to that point, if you got the confidence in him, then you know that you can just stand on that word, that whatever we ask, we know we have it. So, hallelujah.
That, you know, that word right there, if you get on a scripture like Mark 11:23-24, if you get on it and you got it in your mind but you don't have it in your heart, you have to sit there and meditate and meditate on it and be sure to get it in your heart. Once you get it in your heart, then that belief system jumps up exponentially, because when you got it up here, that's not enough. You got to have it in here too, to know that word is going to work for you, that sword of the Spirit is going to work for you. Go ahead, Julie. So it's essential that the word of God gets in here rather than here. Go ahead.
Just the simplicity of like Chet was saying, you know, new believers and stuff, is we come to God not knowing a whole lot about him. We come to him as a child and with childlike faith, and just to sit and read the word, read the Bible, and believe what God says, and just accept what God says, even though you don't fully understand a lot of it when you first come in. But God is a rewarder of those who seek him. It's like you have to believe that he exists, that he is who he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. And you come to him as a child, and it says if you have this faith, it starts out to me that scripture, when you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, is very, very, very small, but that mustard seed grows into a huge, you know, bush, mustard, you know, a mustard tree, and it grows, is what it's supposed to do. And you, the more you sit and read the word, the more faith you get, and you grow, your faith grows, you mature, and then you're able to help others because of what you glean from the word. And it's what God does in you. It's not anything that you can do yourself. It's a gift. You know, faith is a gift. It's being drawn by God is a gift. You know, Jesus came, he came to save the whole world, right? But it's to those who believe. So not everyone's going to believe. And he came to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He came to save his own. And not everyone's going to be a believer. And you don't know who they are until you start, you know, talking with them and get past their unbelief, get past all of their whatever the lies of the enemy has put there, and get through all that and just pray and break through that stuff for them. You know, God's the one that does the work in people's hearts. So it's just starting out wherever you are with that childlike faith and just believing that, God, if you're real, you know, help me. And he is always going to answer those prayers.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Malcolm.
Thank you. You really rung a bell. I guess I don't have any bells on, but it's not close enough to that season. What you said regarding the what did you say? I lost my train of thought there. Anyway, you're saying that it's one thing to read it, but it's another thing to sit down and meditate and get it into your system. And I think that's because, you know, I've been through all the Real Good News series, which is quite long, I think 20 something lessons or sessions, and then Sovereign God and, you know, other things, and of course being around for a number of years, I've gotten a lot of this stuff under my belt, but not necessarily up in my heart, where, you know, by sitting down and meditating on it and thinking about it and saying, yeah, the scripture really does say that. And if that means that, then this means that, this means this, then this means I can pray in faith and, you know, that kind of thing. So there's a guy named Torben who said, if you learn all this stuff and yet you don't go out and do it, then fear starts building up in you. And then you got this whole thing to overcome of fear. I think that's why it's so important to hearken. Jesus said, it's a King James word, but I think it's very useful, hearkening unto his word, which means not just listening, but also obeying. So I think obedience is a big part of this. And sitting down and meditating. I mean, I think sitting down and meditating is part of obedience, internalizing it.
Amen. I believe it. Yeah, Chap, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, I was just going to agree with what he was saying. When I try to start discipling someone, the first thing I want to do is get the baptism of the Holy Ghost in them, get them speaking in tongues. And I urge I urge them to get alone in the secret place somewhere, whether it's your car, your bedroom, it doesn't matter where it's at, a walk-in closet, it's wherever you can get alone and spend time with the Lord and read the word and make time, apply yourself to make time. Say, I'm going to make time to get up an hour early or whatever fits your schedule, but to and dwell in the secret place, not drive through once a week. Dwell in the secret place and meditate and make yourself available. God's not looking for ability. He's looking for availability. And I try to urge people to get them in praying in tongues. And I'm like, hey, man, you just keep doing that like a sewing machine, just nonstop. And that's when you'll start, and eating the sheep food, man, reading that word. Like you said, faith is, hearing and hearing the word of God, getting in the word and staying in it. And it'll happen. You desire him and he will answer you for sure. Amen.
Amen. Okay, what comes after faith? Come on now. Faith without what?
Amen.
Works.
We're not saved. we're not saved by works. We're saved for works. Amen.
Amen. So we act on our faith. What's he talking about acting on our faith? What does that mean?
Not trying to make something happen. Not trying to get, not, okay. So I just prayed for, you all just prayed for me for healing for my hand. Okay. So I'm not going to do anything to try to get that healing. I'm just receiving it. And I'm not going to try to take any pain medicine. And I'm just going to keep praising and thanking God that it's done. I'm going to rest that he's already taken care of this. I'm not going to get double-minded. And I'm not going to my works are just, right now, they're just resting and praising and thanking God that it's done.
Amen.
So whatever else, it's I'm just going to go about my evening tonight and just believe it's done. So
that's right.
The works part is letting God do it, receiving it. And my part is just going to rejoice and accept and receive that it's finished.
Okay.
Thank you, Lord.
Acting in your faith, acting on your faith. Acting on your faith is, bless God, I don't have a headache anymore. I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. You speak it out of your mouth. That's confessing the good confession before God and man. Do it before man too. If you got cancer, somebody have prayed for you against cancer and prayed that spirit off of you. Somebody asked you, well, you had cancer before. You still got cancer? No, I ain't got no cancer. What are you talking about cancer? I ain't got no cancer on me. That spirit of cancer is gone, glory to God. I am healed by the stripes of Jesus, and I ain't got to put up with that mess anymore. Don't be talking about no cancer upon me, because it ain't on me. I'm telling you, I am healed, glory to God. And that's speaking like God wants us to speak. You got a headache? No, I ain't got no headache. What you talking about headache? Don't be calling that on me. That's what we do. As the works that God's looking for out of us is that good confession. Go ahead, Debbie.
Well, that's what I meant when I was asking for prayer, and I said sometimes I don't like to ask people to pray with me because I feel that I'm not having faith. So I'm believing it for myself. I wasn't saying I didn't have faith. So when I ask people to pray with me, then I feel like I don't have faith. But I've been claiming it myself, yet I've been praying and praying and praying. Maybe that's why that's the problem, is that just really receiving it. Although I do say that, I believe I have it, I receive it, yet I'm still praying again and again. It's kind of like a circle. So we just have to
Well, you're You ain't got it no more. You ain't got it no more.
No.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Yeah, go ahead, Chet.
Hey, I was just going to add, and this is just me and my walk, but like when I have something wrong, if I have a knee messed up or a back messed up, and like I say, this is just me, but man, I will go out and try to pray for every knee I can find and take the eyes off of me and put them on the Lord and try to do his work. You know, I like a pit bull, man, I'll attack it. But just trying to take our eyes off of us. And it's hard to do when you're sick and you've got an affliction or whatever, infirmity. Sometimes it's hard to do. I get it. But, man, if you take the eyes off of yourself and start just doing for him, you know, it's kind of like, what have you done for me? You know, but I do that a lot. I just try to pray for as many other people as I can that have, you know, have it, that situation.
You know what I do, Chet, sometimes, I understand what you're saying, and I do the same thing, but what I do a lot of times, if I got a knee that's messed up or a foot or something that's messed up, I said, I'll show you, devil, I'll go walking, glory to God, and I'll get out there and go to walking, and by the time I get back home, it's gone.
Yeah, that's amen. You know, it's kind of like if you had $1 million in the bank, how would you know? You got to check it. Right, and you got to get on it and just claim it. But yeah, I agree with you 100%.
Wait a minute, $1 million in the bank. You got $1 million?
Okay, well if I said Michael, you got $1 million in the bank. How would you know if you had $1 million in the bank or not? You told me. Right? You'd have to check it. You'd have to call it, check it. You know, act of faith is what I'm saying.
A lot of times absolutely.
You speak it, and that act of obedience, that act of faith, you know, I don't know how many people I'll pray for, and I'll say, hey, as an act of obedience, get up out of that scooter in Walmart. And let's walk down the aisle, you know.
Amen. I'll do the same thing. Yeah, Tim, go ahead, brother.
I think for me, and you know, a lot of us locally, and you know, probably a lot of greater UVM understand this too, is that the faith is you know, when David put it, is when you look back at the cross, that's where your faith is. When you're looking forward, that isn't faith, it's hope. But looking back and knowing it's already accomplished, that was a real faith builder for me, and I really appreciate that. When I'm wondering about something, I remember that. By golly, I know it's happened. And I can thank the Lord that it's already been accomplished.
Amen. Yeah, Andrew, go ahead, brother.
Now, I'm just asking this question. I'm putting the question out of, let's say you overcome something in faith and it's all done and said for, you know, and then you use that as an example for something else that's happened. But you're saying, well, if it happened back there and I remember how it happened, I just got to get in that mindset again on how it happened over there for when I got my answer for faith on that one. Now it's supposed to happen for this one too, whatever this problem is, whatever this ordeal is. You know? I was just going to ask that question is, can you do that? Because you had success in faith for something before. Can you have success in faith for something you're going through now, using that former thing as an example?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You can confess the same thing. It depends on what it was. You know, if you were healed of, let's say you were healed of whatever, I don't know, TB. I'm not trying to put that on you, Andrew. Don't get me wrong. Now, I ain't trying to put no TB on you. But I'm saying, if you had TB and you got healed of that because of your faith, absolutely, you can go back to that same mindset and say, okay, I got healed of TB by doing Mark 11:23, Mark 11:24, either one, 1 Peter 2:24, John 14:14, all of those scriptures, whatever scripture it was that you used, you can go back and do the same thing. It's God's word. And it works. And if it don't work, go find something else. You know, ask God, what's going on here? How come it don't work this time? It'll work, though. Believe me. It'll work. Go ahead, Julie.
Andrew, I think that's why God, you know, he wants us to be encouraged, you know, and use those examples. Like, look, you know, God did this for me. He did that for me. He did this. He did this. You can go back and look at all the times he did. Why would God not do it this time? You know, that's just your reasoning. The carnal reasoning, or the enemy putting doubt or a lie in your head about it. So you look back at it each and every time, and you count your blessings and name them one by one, and you tell that, you know, tell the devil, God did this. He's going to do this too. He's not going to fail. He did it for somebody else. He's no respecter of person. He's going to do it again. So I think that's why he does give us, you know, victories, you know, because we look back at that. Those are faith builders. To me, that's why I think he does that. And we can look at the scriptures and look what he did for everybody else, and just, you know, other people's testimonies. That's why they're, you know, that's why they're on the website. That's why we share them. And they're faith builders. He's going to do it. So, yeah, don't let that fleshy reasoning get in there.
That's first time I got healed was what that was done it for me right there for everything. That did it for me for everything, because I was in a Baptist church, brand new believer. And y'all know the story, the guy that prayed for me there in Mardell bookstore. And from that point on, I glassed on to that little fella and found out God healed. And I'm telling you what, it was Katie bar the door then. It didn't make any difference to me. What it was, it didn't make any difference. God going to heal it. Glory to God. That's right, Andrew. You know God heals after he does it the first time. And somebody tries to tell you that God don't heal anymore. Well, I beg your pardon. He healed me, and if he healed me, he'll heal you if you'll believe, you know. All right, go ahead, Chet.
Yeah, I just wanted to share, just kind of encourage everybody, but there is so much power in witnessing and giving your testimony on healing. I've been healed so many times, it's crazy. And a lot of times I think the Lord was teaching me to be obedient in prayer and building my faith. But yeah, witnessing and giving your testimony is powerful, man. Like you said, if he's healed you from something before, man, you run with that and share it. It's very powerful. Amen.
Yes, it is. Yeah, Missy.
Well, the first time I got healed, a miraculous healing was because I was speaking to someone about, you know, I know God still heals because I've spoken to so many people, I've read so many testimonies, and even though I haven't received it yet, I'm believing that, you know, there's things I'm believing for that I'm healed. And and I remember it was about a month before that I had sent in a prayer request for a couple different things, two, three different things, and it was a month later when I was confessing, you know, that God still does this. And even though I haven't experienced it myself yet, I'm believing for that. Well, the very next day, I got a manifestation of a healing, and I didn't, and the Lord showed me 2 weeks later, then he brought me back to that. And he showed me that he honored me speaking faith out of my mouth, and he healed me because of that. And boy, talk about beast, just like on cloud nine, and so encouraged, and just gave me like a huge boost of faith, you know, especially for the whole healing thing, you know. And so, yeah, and the Lord's healed me, and I've seen different ones popping up messages here, you know, that the Lord's healed them of a lot of different things, and the Lord's healed me of a lot of different things too, you know. And you know, and sometimes I'll get to numbering all these things that people healed me from, and And I tell him, and it wasn't from going to a doctor, and it wasn't from taking medicine. It was God that healed me, you know. And they're just like, they're, and like Chet was saying, you know, having a testimony, witnessing to people about what God's done for you is very powerful, you know. And people that I've told that to, some people, you know, they're like, well, how do I, you know, you've heard of people like really scoffers. I've never had anybody scoff. They're like, wow, you know, some people would say, well, how do I know that's true? You know, I didn't see you the way you were before or whatever, but it's just, I think, I haven't ever experienced that, but I think, when I've spoken that to people, it's because the Lord impressed me on as being led by the Spirit. And I was so pumped up and so full of faith at the time that I think that faith in me kind of carried over and encouraged other people that they really, really believed that I was telling the truth, you know? So, but anyway, just wanted to share that.
Amen. I was going to say something. What was I going to say? Oh, y'all remember when we talked about Schaumbach telling about the 26th miracle kid? Y'all remember that? That A.A. Allen, who is from Arkansas, I might add, A.A. Allen prayed for, well, he didn't actually pray for him. He just held him. God healed him. That's exactly what happened. Oh, Arkansas boy, he was just as surprised as everybody else was. But that kind of a miracle there is, oh, my gracious sakes alive, man. That, you talk about getting people healed now after something like that. Lord of God. Go ahead, Chet. I'll get you in a minute, Joe.
Yeah, I was just going to share. I've heard that testimony. I've watched the video of that testimony with R.W. Schaumbach, and he was going up and looking in the offering basket, and that lady. Anyway, that's an awesome testimony. I love that testimony.
It's a good one.
Yeah, yeah. I forgot what I was going to say now. Then lost my train of thought. Just talking about healings, I know that, you know, when I found out that it was real, and it was real, and I was like, there's no slowing me down. And I know that my faith, I thought my faith, I had a certain level of faith, and I was wanting to see more. And I remember one time I prayed for a lady in a Walmart that was in a scooter, and I thought she had a bad hip or a bad knee or something, you know. And I went up to her and asked her, could I pray for her? And God kept me from knowing what was wrong with that lady, because my faith, I wouldn't have walked up to her. She had had a stroke, and she was paralyzed on her whole side, her arm and her leg. Her family had to help her get in the scooter in Walmart, but I didn't know that. And I asked her, could I pray for her? And she said, yeah. And I started praying for her, and she starts crying, and she says, I'm tingling, and the whole side of my body is just hot, on fire. And I told her, I said, well, here, as an act of faith, get up out of that thing and let's walk. And she got up out of that thing, and I was holding her hands. I said, I won't let you fall. And she was crying so hard she couldn't hardly talk to me. And I said, well, I thought you'd be happy. And she says, you don't understand. I was paralyzed, and I couldn't walk. And, man, I went out into my truck and cried like a baby. I did. And I thought, yeah. Lord, you didn't let me know what was wrong with her on purpose, because I wasn't praying for her. You know what I'm saying? So, I always say, Lord, show me more. And the Lord's like, well, I'm waiting on you, you know.
Amen. Yeah, I prayed for a guy that broke his back in a motorcycle accident one time. And this was in a Baptist church. The preacher just took off out the door. he couldn't handle it. And the youth leader did the same thing. There wasn't nothing but me and a couple of other people in there, and this boy that was in that wheelchair. Now, he didn't walk that day. He didn't walk that day. But I heard a few weeks later, about, I think it was about 6 weeks later, that he'd come out of that wheelchair. And they told him he'd never walk again, but he believed, and he kept believing, and God pulled him out of it. So yeah, that's that. God can do it. It don't have, you know, just believe. That's all.
Amen. Well, you know, Michael, like you were saying, I tell people that all the time. Healing is no one point in time. It's on God's time frame, not ours. But I prayed for people. I prayed for a guy that had a disintegrated hip socket. And I prayed for him, and it didn't happen that night. I prayed for him. And he came to me 2 weeks later, and he said, Chet, 3 days after you prayed for me, I was laying in bed, and I woke up, and I was just on fire. And he said, I got up, and I started walking. And he said, I was afraid it was going to start hurting again. So he told me, he said, I didn't even come back to tell you for a week. You know what I mean? But, yeah, and I was like, amen. So it's not on our time frame, but it'll happen. You know, something else, too, is I have prayed for people just in a simple text message or just a phone call across the country, across the world. But just through a text, and they read that text and then get a healing, and it's, I'm just amazed by it.
We've seen at least two, maybe three, I can't remember, two or three dead raisins over the telephone.
Yeah, that's amazing. Amazing. That's awesome. That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah, we sure did. And one guy, we prayed, and he was lost. His wife called and said he just had a heart attack or something. And David grabbed the phone, started talking to him, and brought him to Christ, and he died right after that.
Is that right?
You know.
What? Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I had a younger sister that I lost about a little over a year ago, and she was an IV drug addict, and she had actually died because she'd got an infection. So she didn't overdose, but she died because she got an infection, and it messed her heart up. And she's only like 29 or 30 years old, and I knew, man, she was lost like a golf ball in tall weeds, and she was on her deathbed. And I'm in Texas, and she was in West Virginia. So I'm frantically trying to get a hold of family, somebody that's in the hospital. And I finally got a hold of my sister and her dad. She was my half sister, but I got a hold of them. And I told him, I said, her dad said, hey, she's gone. She's almost gone. Her heart rate's almost to nothing. I said, it don't matter. Put the phone on speaker and let me pray. And I started praying for her over the speaker on the telephone, and he couldn't believe it. He said, her body is warm back up. Could not believe it. And her vitals came back up. And I just kept saying, Erica, you can hear me. I know you can hear me. Just call out for Jesus. And he, you know, I wasn't there, but they said she warmed up, her vitals came back up and everything. And then in about 3 hours, she passed. But I just totally believe. They said it was just amazing that she had warmed back up and her vitals all came back up and everything. So I'm just standing on that, you know, the Lord got her right before she went. But I've seen blind eyes open, deaf ears open, so much stuff. Man, my faith is through the roof, you know.
Praise God. Yeah, I've seen all that. Hey, Greg, what's up, brother?
You want the whole list?
No. We don't want the whole list.
Well, just good to see you. What a well-behaved group this is. And I thought, oh, no, I'm having a hot chocolate on screen. I might get in trouble.
No, hot chocolate's just, fine. Just, I like that myself.
Like, oh, they're so well-behaved. I've got, anyway.
Scooter. I wish. Oh, my. Hey, Dave Nelson. What's up, bud? Oh, my. Well, we're just having a good time talking about faith tonight, Greg, David. And
don't forget Joe.
And Joe, too. Oh, Joe. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead, brother.
No, I just asked, what is that A.A. Allen testimony? I can't say I've ever heard it. I might have, but I really don't remember.
No, hang on, I'll tell you. It's on YouTube. Go to type in R.W. Schambach.
Yep.
26 Miracle Kid or something like that.
Okay, yeah. Let me see what that's one's about. Okay, was he a friend of A.A. Allen's?
Yeah, he was his music minister. He was his music minister.
I remember seeing a couple videos of his, and I was like, must be a close friend of some sort. Okay, well, gotcha.
You know what's interesting? R.W. Schambach is from New York, and he sounds like he's from Arkansas, but that's because he was down there with A.A. Allen for so long. A.A. Allen indoctrinated that boy and showed him how to talk.
Nice.
But yeah, A.A. Allen, he worked under A.A. Allen, kind of like Lester Summerall did under Wigglesworth. You know what I mean? He was a lot younger. But it's an amazing testimony, Joe. Like, this kid had all these incurables, and he was it was crazy.
Okay.
I can't remember.
Born that way.
Yeah, he was born that way, and he was deaf and dumb and blind, and I mean, it was crazy.
Couldn't walk. Had all his hands and arms was all gimped up. That's a good testimony.
Wow. I'm definitely gonna look at that one.
didn't we look at that one night here on the conference call? I thought we did. Yeah, we went at, yeah, we did. I think, didn't we? I thought we did. Yes.
I think we did couple of years ago, maybe.
Yeah, I might have been before I came back. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm definitely looking at that one.
Oh, man, that's an awesome testimony. It's an awesome testimony. It surprised A.A. Allen about as much as it did in the people around him. Yeah, Greg, go ahead. I thought you were racing.
Experience, I suppose. Do people find it harder, or do you people find it harder, to affect healing on yourself than you do on others?
I do. Yeah. It has been in the past. I don't have that trouble anymore. You understand? Yeah. I'm speaking by faith here. Glory to God. No, it's easy for me to pray for somebody else and get them healed than it is for myself.
All right. How about family members, Mike?
No, family members, I don't have a problem with. My kids have all been healed. My wife has been healed when she believed. And, you know, I don't – it's the ones that don't believe. My immediate family, let me put it that way, my immediate family that knew my ministry didn't have any problems having healing my kids. None at all. Now, today I have that problem with them because they've grown up. Well, got wise to the world, you know.
Yeah, amen. I know that I've been healed so many times. It's amazing, but it's not like I can pray for myself and get healed right now. I'll just stand in faith and walk it out, and then one day it'll just go away. You know what I mean? It's not like praying for someone on the sidewalk. It's just different.
Amen. All right, anybody else? I tell you, the one that I always enjoyed telling was the one about the old lady out at the county, Lone Oak County Fair. Y'all remember telling about that old lady, her daughter was pushing her up there in a wheelchair. I said, Mama, I just jumped out there and I said, Mama, I said, what's wrong with you? She said, I can't walk. I said, that's why I'm in this wheelchair. I said, well, what's the matter with, said, how long has it been since you walked? She said, I've been in this wheelchair, I think she said 4.